My name is Varney Sembola from Baltimore, Maryland. And yeah, I'm in the pallet business, making about $1,000 a day.
What's up? What's up? Nick Loper here. Welcome to the Side Hustle Show, the business podcast you can actually apply. You just heard from Varney, who started his pallet flipping business at the beginning of the pandemic, inspired by another Side Hustle Show guest, John Wilker. Back in that episode, 274, John called it a middleman business or a matchmaker business, connecting companies with excess pallets. They receive their products in on these pallets, and then they got to get rid of them in some way, and connecting those companies with other businesses that need them, sometimes even in the same industrial complex, and profiting on that deal. Stick around in this one to hear how Varney sources his inventory, where he finds his buyers, his creative storage and logistics solutions, and more. Now, one quick note, we recorded this from his warehouse. And don't worry if you don't have access to one. He didn't start there either, but I do want to apologize in advance for some of the background noise. But if we look past that, he's got some great ideas and advice on how to start and grow a pallet reselling business. Ready? Let's do it.
I went surfing on YouTube, you know, like we all do. I found John Wilker having another interview on another platform, and he was saying how much money he made within a couple of hours. And, you know, I said, well, you know what, Dad? I'm not one of those people that say, okay, it's too good to be true. I always want to find out for myself before I can make that assumption. So I just went out anyway and said, you know what, let me watch him a little bit more and find out if this is something I want to get into. As I kept watching, I realized it made a lot of sense. I just reached out to him and said, listen, you know, I don't know you and you don't know me, but whatever you know, I need to know the same thing. And that's how the relationship started.
Yeah. So my understanding of at least the way John described the business on the podcast several years ago was building this database or directory of buyers and suppliers, companies that need pallets and drums and, you know, kind of these shipping byproducts for their businesses in the industrial parts of your town. And then on the flip side, creating this, a similar list of buyers, you know, people who need this stuff for their business, and just trying to play matchmaker. He called himself a middleman, and that was that. But my question was always like, well, you know, these companies already have a process in place if they've been in business for any length of time. So, you know, what is the intro pitch? What is, like, how did you get on these companies' radars, or how do you kind of go about sourcing this initial inventory?
You know, a lot of companies need our help. They're hoping that someone's going to walk through that door to ask them how they can help them. And in the business, like John says, it's a matchmaking business. They need our help really, really bad. And when you go to talk to these companies, that's when you realize, oh, they have a problem and you can come in as a problem solver. And the funny thing is, Nick, these two companies, they may be literally a few blocks, one or two blocks away from each right. other. Well, why don't they just communicate and help each other out? But they don't, you know, and that's when we come in. We make that magic happen, so to speak. So it's happened to me too, and I'll share this with you if I may. I had a company reach out and say, you know, we need 200 pallets. And I said, okay. At the time, I had, you know, I still have my van. I had a cargo van. I could only fit like 30 in it. So I told them I could get them the 200. I had the 200, but I can only deliver 30 at a time. So what I did was I delivered the first 30. And then, okay, let's say the company I delivered to was in building A. And then you have building B and then building C. Building C had over like 440 pallets, right? And then company A needed 200. So as I was leaving company A going and right to building C, there's all these pallets that they need. So I just stopped there and you know, asked. And they're like, well, go ahead, help yourself out. So I load up my van. I load up the van right there and turn around and came back and drop off those pallets. And the company was like, wow, that was really fast. I said, yeah, I know, right? So I told him, I said, okay, look, give me another like 10 or 20 minutes and I'll be back. And I went back there and load up another 30. But this time I can't just drop back and make it out of here. So I had to go around the building and actually park the van, wait like a few more minutes and then come around. That's how crazy it was.
Yeah.
But that was $2,000 in 45 minutes.
Wow.
And I was just, I was literally blown away by the whole experience. to make this matchmaker for 45 minutes to make $2,000.
Is it common to get inventory for free? Just people trying to get rid of this stuff?
It was, and to an extent, it still is, but it's getting a little bit tighter. Companies that used to give it to you for free, they're now trying to get into the market as well.
Were there any types of locations or industries that you targeted early on?
Yes. So there are companies around that they receive a lot of pallets every day with their products on it. So those are the companies I target because, for example, if company A has receiving, 1,000 pallets a day, so I just go there and then what I do is I duplicate whatever that company is because every company always have a competition. So I always go to their competitor as well because they will have the same amount of pallet, if not more. Okay. And that's how I source my pallet.
Okay. And then on the buying side, what did you find effective there?
Oh man, Facebook. The power of social media is insane. I mean, I get buyers from California. I get buyers from Chicago. I get buyers from everywhere just from a Facebook post.
Oh, so it's not always just local, not always just driving four blocks down the street.
I started with local and I still do local, but I've expanded to different states where I have buyers coming with tractor trailers. Right after our interview, a tractor trailer should be pulling up here today. Okay. So we have buyers from other states.
How do you figure out the pricing on something like this, where it's one man's trash, it's another man's treasure in a way, where it's like you're getting it for free or for very cheap from these suppliers, and then these other companies need this stuff. Like, how do you figure out the pricing and margins that you're aiming for?
Well, so how I do it is basically, Nick, I will go to a company that have pallets, and if they are keeping their pallets, I will usually ask them, hey, if you don't mind me asking, what do you purchase a pallet for? Maybe I can try to save you a few dollars, And usually they're open to tell you what they pay. And then based on that, you can adjust your price to basically fit their need and save them a couple of dollars as well.
What's typical these days with the price of lumber, especially during the pandemic going crazy? Like what's typical pallet cost?
The typical pallet costs about $12.
Okay.
And that's a B grade.
Very much a volume game where you got to be moving hundreds of these things at any time to make any significant money. And it's like a big bulky thing. Oh, I can only fit 30 in the cargo van. What's the logistics setup look like? I mean, you're talking to me from your warehouse today, but is that how it started? I'm curious. Just if I'm dealing with bulky stuff, like I could like, okay, well, it's cool. I can make a good margin on it, but where do I keep it in the meantime?
When I started, I just had a van and I'll keep them in the van until, 10 here, 20 there and so forth. But then I realized the potential of the business. So I decided to really take it and run with it. So I went and rented a parking lot where you put one car. So guys, I want to show you, Nick. I want to show you where I started and where I am. Okay.
Yeah.
So when I started, again, I was in that, putting my stuff in that van because I had nowhere to put it. And then what I did was, I came to a commercial space and I rented this parking space right here. It was like 60, 70 bucks a month. And that's all I had was this one space right here.
Yeah.
But I just kept being consistent and just kept working until I went from this spot to the next one, to the next one, until I got all of this here, all of this space. And then this spot came available. So I grabbed this as well, where the van is, into my warehouse here / my office. Companies were reaching out to me on social media and saying, hey, listen, do you have 616 pallets? We need those if you can get it. And then what is your price? And my price is like $10 a piece. So when I was able to get 616 pallets in about 2-3 days and sold all of those in less than 4 hours for $6,160.
Yeah.
That was a major game changer. I had no background in this, but I would see pallets on the street when I'm driving and just look at them as trash. I never really pay attention to it.
After talking with John in that episode a few years ago, every time I would see a flatbed truck like stacked up with pallets, I'd like take a picture and text him like pallet money. And he'd text back, be like, that's probably $600 right there. It's like, yeah, you totally never look at it the same way. But it's just one of these like kind of businesses that run in the background a lot, kind of these byproduct type of things that you don't really think about. But yeah, these pallets and other shipping materials are changing hands all the time, and there's margin to be made for a matchmaker, for a middleman like yourself. Pretty inspiring.
Well, anyone getting this into this business, the first thing would be get educated first. That's the most important thing. Get educated so you know exactly what you're doing. This is something that you literally get to decide what you want to make on a monthly basis. Every company, or 99.9% of the company in the United States, depend on this business. Nothing gets shipped out anywhere without pallets. So it's almost like doing a gold rush. We have the shovel. You need a shovel to go dig your gold. Without the shovel, you're not digging any gold. Without pallet, you're not shipping anything.
Yeah, it's really exciting to see what you've built. I was going to ask if there were any deals that had gone bad or mistakes along the way. You know, if you had to start over, what would you do differently? That type of thing.
I had a supplier that had 8,000 pallets. 8,000 pallets, that's about almost 80, 90 grand. And we had agreed that I would come into that warehouse. They had over 350 square foot of space. And 50% of that was occupied by pallets.
Okay.
And we agreed that I will come in and I will clear out the entire space so that way they can have more room to put their product. And I took 3 months with me and my guys to go in there, you know, hire my guys, paying them and everything to bring the pallets outside of the warehouse and organizing them real nice and neat and getting ready to start having my buyers bring their trucks and pick them up.
Yeah.
The moment I do that, their warehouse is not completely clear. And then they come back and say, hey, you need to give us $10,000 today or else you need to leave the property. And I say, excuse me? They say, yeah, you need to give us $10,000 or you need to leave the property. If you want those pallets outside, you need to pay for it. And you guys give me a forklift and everything, and I've been doing it for the last 3 months. How come you guys never approached me or told me in the beginning when the pallets were inside?
What ended up happening?
What ended up happening was I told them I wasn't going to give them 10 grand. And they said, well, you know, you can't come on our property anymore. And I don't think that was right. I don't think it was fair at all. Because at this point, I spent almost $8,000-$9,000 paying my guys just to clear the pallets.
Do the labor,
Just the labor alone, the labor cost. So, but it was another pallet company that came in and kind of finagled their way in there.
And that's kind of your opener is, do you mind me asking, what do you do with those pallets?
That's my opener. But also what I do different too is I talk to, because every company have what you call a gatekeeper.
Sure.
So I want to establish a relationship with the gatekeeper first, because a lot of time people go in there to ask for managers and supervisors. They look over the gatekeeper.
Yeah.
And that's why the gatekeeper shoots them down and close the gate, because they don't make the gatekeeper feel important enough, you know. But I took my time to get to know them and see how their day was going, how long they've been with the company. And ask non-invasive questions.
And they
usually will be very open to talk. So when I ask for the manager, they will literally take me and walk me directly to the manager's office.
Yeah, okay.
And then,
that's a great tip. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, I'll just leverage the name dropping, because I don't really know the gatekeeper. So if the gatekeeper name was Nick, and I want to ask for the manager, so I'll talk to you first and I say, what's your name, Nick? Oh, Nick, nice to meet you. How's your day going? Are you enjoying the day? How long have you been working? Okay. Yeah, I cannot ask for the manager. Then you say, oh, yeah, Ronnie, come with me. So when I get to the manager, I say, hey, I was talking to Nick out there. He's a pretty cool guy. So right now the manager's like, oh, okay, well, maybe you know Nick, which I don't know Nick, but I took a few seconds to try to get to know Nick.
Yeah.
And because of that, usually managers would just open up and say, hey, come let me take you on a tour of the warehouse. And they would take me around and show me things and give me some numbers and what they buy pallets for, what kind of pallets they're looking for, and how often they buy it and stuff. And that's where the relationship starts.
Yeah, exactly. Starting those relationships and just spidering out, building out from there. So it's been a couple years into it. MVPalletSolutions.com. Where do you want to go this thing? You going nationwide? What's next for you?
My goal is to go to 1 million a month. I'm on that journey right now. If anyone can make $1 a month, you can make $1 million a month. And I started, my goal was to make $100 a month. I mean, $100 a day. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
And I did that in a few hours. And I said, well, let me go to $200 a day. Okay, let me push it to $500 a day. Okay, let me see if I can do $1,000 a day. Yeah. But every goal was accomplished, and I just kept going. If I did $200 a day, I said, okay, let me do five. If I did five, let me do $1,000 a day. Was it easy to get to $1,000 a day? There was little, you know, hiccups here and there, little challenges here and there. But I still got there. So, yeah, the goal is to do $1 million a month, and that's where I'm heading. And no one's going to stop me from doing that. Unless I die, but other than that, I'm not going to stop till I get it.
Oh, gosh. You know? Hopefully you keep kicking for a little bit. I would love to do a follow-up when you get there, because I'm confident that you will, given the path that you've been on. So, Varney, really appreciate you joining me. MVPalletteSolutions.com. You can check him out over there. Let's wrap this thing up with your number one tip for side hustleation. Doesn't have to be palette related, just any type of entrepreneurial wisdom that you'd like to impart.
Number one tip is consistency. You can succeed in anything you want to succeed in by just being consistent. We are human beings of habits. So if you can do something consistently, it becomes a habit. So whatever you pick that you want to do, as long as you know that stuff is beneficial to you, and it's, especially in the form of business, just hang in there to be consistent long enough until it turns into a habit. And once it turns into a habit, you got it. You don't even feel like you're working anymore because it's a habit. And if it's a good habit, trust me, you can go, space is not even the limit. You can just accomplish anything you want to accomplish by being consistent.
Well, Varney, this has been awesome. I really appreciate you sharing your journey for the last couple of years. I'll let you go and load up that truck. But thanks so much for joining me, and we'll catch up soon. All right. Hope you enjoyed that chat with Varney. Lots of cool takeaways in this one, including just starting the conversation. I liked his note about building some level of rapport with the gatekeeper and then dropping their name with the eventual decision maker. I liked how he started super small and has scaled this thing up as his network has expanded. And we're talking just 2 years deep into this, going from a single cargo van to renting out a parking space to now eventually having this warehouse, but doing it in a very low risk, very systematic way. And then finally on the sourcing side, well, once you have one lead, well, they're probably not the only business in your area doing that thing. So it makes sense to call on their competitors as well. Go out, be a problem solver. Lots of good stuff in this one. If you want to learn more about this business, definitely check out the guy who inspired it. That is episode 274 with John Wilker. You can scroll down in your podcast app to find episode 274 in the archives, or hit up sidehustlenation.com/middleman, and that'll get you right over there. Again, sidehustlenation.com/middleman. Big thanks to Varney for sharing his insight. That is it for me. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you're finding value in the show, the greatest compliment is to share it with a friend. So thank you for doing that. Until next time, let's go out there and make something happen. And I'll catch you in the next edition of The Side Hustle Show. Hustle on.